Come, Holy Spirit, and let our hearts be on fire. Amen. As all the readings make clear, this is the day where we are focusing on the Holy Spirit. And in a way, we're doing a bit of a telescoping outward. Next Sunday, we'll look at God as the Holy Trinity. And we've just come through a season of 50 days of focusing on Christ, and particularly on the resurrection. And that is the way the book of Acts conceives of a calendar of time, that Jesus spent that time with the disciples. And the church has adopted that. 40 days of the presence of Jesus leading up to the ascension. And then the 50 days celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's not the only way to mark time, but I guess the church really needs to figure out the resurrection. And so to have 40 days to focus on it is very good for us. This story presents the Holy Spirit in the image of languages. So that was my challenge to do that one for my first time today. The image of languages, though, is the idea that God is calling us to understand each other. And we can look around and say, all right, on the surface, we get that, but the world is not full of that understanding. We still need that to be a way of the Holy Spirit, that we would come to deeply understand each other. And this reading is kind of a bookend, a closing off of an earlier story that came up in Genesis, where the people were engaged in a purpose that wasn't good for humanity or for the creation. And God came and divided people into different languages. That's how the story goes. The Tower of Babel was a story of people united around a purpose that wasn't good, and then becoming separated by no longer being able to understand each other. And this is kind of a fulfillment of being able to come back together. And that's what the Holy Spirit is intended to do, to help us to come back together with all people. Now, that's not the only way to understand the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to give a few other images, because the scriptures are indeed full of them. And so in the gospel reading from John, Jesus breathes on them. He breathes the Spirit on them. And this is also an echo. It goes back to Genesis chapter 2, when God formed the first human being out of the soil. And God breathed into that soil, and it became the living being that we call Adam. And you could even go back further and say, well, it's actually the very first verse of the Bible, and the Spirit of God moves or breathes over the whole creation. And the challenge in this particular reading is Jesus says that they, the church, the disciples, the apostles, the church, are able to forgive sins in God's name or to not forgive them. And there's the challenge in that reading for us, because on the personal level, we make that journey of whether or not we can forgive what has harmed us. And on the church level, we know that one as well, that sometimes we're not forgiving, and we justify it with various things. And sometimes as a church, we also need to be forgiven. To add in some more images of the Holy Spirit, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians does acknowledge tongues as opposed to languages, but Paul is quick to pull it in and say it's just one of many gifts. And so the language of the Holy Spirit in the first letter to the Corinthians is about the gifts God gives us to be able to serve in community. And they're various, they're beautiful. In fact, although there's a list of them, I don't think it's an exhaustive list. I think we can look around and see incredible giftedness, and it's just the limit of our imaginations whether we will find ways for that giftedness to bless all of us. Paul isn't done just there. His other place where he focuses on the Holy Spirit is in the letter to the Romans, particularly chapter 8, where he speaks of the Spirit as that which enables us to pray. And when we don't know what words to use, the Spirit helps us to have the words we need to pray. And in that passage, Paul goes out even larger and says, it's that Spirit which for which the whole creation is yearning and longing for fulfillment. The creation is like in pain, in childbirth almost. And this coming of the Spirit will bring about a sense of wholeness in all of creation. And so we might put on our environmentalist hats in that one and say, we want to be on that side of the Holy Spirit in the coming of the wholeness of creation. And there's one more. In Luke's gospel, Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit as giving us words of testimony when we don't know what to say. And so if you're challenged, if your faith is challenged, and you don't know what to say, you don't know what you're going to say, sometimes you trust in the moment that you're going to have the right words and that God will give those words to you. So I'm going through this exhaustive list so that you know that you have access to all of these things. And there are going to be times when some of them don't work for you. But I hope there will be one that does. It's especially with the things that are harder to do that come up in these spirit readings. So, understanding each other. Sometimes we're going to have a hard time doing that. Forgiving, which I mentioned. Knowing what to pray. And you may have had already a situation like that where you just don't know what to pray. You're just in the presence of God and you don't know what to say. And the presence is as much as you have. And then finally, the one I mentioned, testimony when your faith is challenged and you are given words that you didn't know you had. So I've been thinking about how to apply these ones to myself, because that's what I want you to do, is to say, which is the one that works for me in this season of time, in this season of my life, in this week? And so I had a couple of conversations over the past month that have made me think about how the Spirit is there, I hope, helping me. One of these conversations, and it's a personal story, 2 weeks ago I brought my mother to Ottawa for Mother's Day. But a part of that trip was to visit my uncle and aunt who are newly in a nursing home. My aunt has Alzheimer's, and my uncle had been her caregiver until he had a stroke. And so they're newly there, and my mother really wanted to go, and so we went. And with the nature of driving and figuring out schedules, we arrived, unfortunately, right before the dinner hour. So we came to the door in the nursing home and we opened the door just as they were also opening the door to go out to the dining room. And my aunt just barged on past us because all she knows now is the routine. My uncle called her back, let's have a visit because the dining hall will save us dinner. She ignored him and proceeded on and left us there. And my uncle appealed to us to come in and sit, which we did, and we got to talking, you know, the lighthearted talking about how are you, the kind that people answer with the nice things. And then the more revealing talking where I asked and he said, I feel trapped. And it's boring. So that the combination of those two things, I feel trapped, and this is so boring. So we continued on to Ottawa, and my mother had a sleepless night, and it wasn't just the bed. She was deeply disturbed by this transparency of feelings. I feel trapped, and it's really boring. And I asked her, well, are you bored? Oh, yes. We had a meeting about a week and a half ago about caring for caregivers. So I shared that. I'm sharing it again, but I shared that. And the other aspect of caring for caregivers that came up was loneliness. And so this conversation, these conversations have been with me about what is the Holy Spirit going to give us to say, to speak into the thing that I don't think it's just my mother. I think it's a lot of people are feeling. And that I wanted to pray for the words and the guidance to be a good support in that. Maybe you can think of some specific people where you might need that support too. So a second conversation, I've been away on a little holiday and I had a chance to reconnect with some good friends. One particular friend and I, we go for long walks, and this friend is organizing the clergy conference of her diocese. And so we were talking about, well, what do you say at a clergy conference? And one of the things that apparently has come up is clergy who say, but I wasn't taught this in seminary. Because it's very true. There are many things that I learned in seminary that they're way back there. But what I think we came to was lifelong learning is where it's at. We learned how to learn. There were some specific things we learned that we didn't apply, but we learned how to learn. And that means that in this time of the unknown in many churches, maybe collectively we're like that phrase from Luke, that we will have the right testimony when we need it. And we need to be the lifelong learners who are open to that and humble enough to say, I don't know yet. And to trust that the Spirit will give us the words. So those are my two takeaways of thinking about the Holy Spirit over the past month. One of them is about as a support for personal challenges. And the other is support for us in community challenges. Now, as I said, these images, they're so varied, and they're for you. Maybe you have another way that you think that this will help you, and I pray that it will. This is a day where we speak of the Holy Spirit in God's many rich ways as coming to us. And in this worship, we invite God to come to each of us in the way we most need. Amen.